Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Forward Church. Listen, I'm so glad you tuned in to today's podcast. I hope it challenges you and inspires you to go after God and be all that God's called you to be. Enjoy today's message. Well, I'm so glad you're here tonight. Tonight is the conclusion, the final installment to this collection of talks that we've been having around the subject of relationships, dealing with difficult people. How many have difficult people in your life? It's okay if they're in the room. They don't know that you're raising your hand about them unless you do one of those numbers, you know, like that. But this collection of talks has been really, really good for me, I know. And I know that tonight is another one of those that I know I'm hitting right where I need to because of the adversity and the attention that just my thoughts have gotten today on this subject. So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is right where it needs to be. Amen. If you ever want to get the pulse, if you're right on track, just look for adversity. If you want to know if you're in the right lane or the right vein, just do a test and go, which way is the wind blowing? If it's blowing against you, and that means the adversity of the enemy, chances are pretty good that you're running towards him and not with him. Amen? So I want to speak to you tonight from the simple subject, how's your net work? As we wrap up this series and prepare to dive into the final talk, I think it's very important that we understand this concept. Are you ready for it? You ready to write it down? This is going to be point number one. Say this with me. Say, I was built for connection. You and I were built for connection. That is why we took the past, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weeks, in some regards, the dangers of connecting to the wrong people. Making sure that the right people are in your sphere or your circle. Making sure that the wrong people are not pulling life out of you, pulling purpose out of you, or diverting you from your life and purpose. Amen? So point number one is, I was built for connection. I really believe that inside of every one of us tonight, inside of me, inside of you, is two things. There's lots of things, actually, but I'm not going to stand here and talk the medical terms, but I will tell you the spiritual terms. There is purpose and there is destiny inside of each one of us. And something that I learned a long time ago, you will not arrive at your purpose or your destiny without someone else. It takes connection. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how skilled you are. I don't care what your skill set is. You will not be able to arrive at your purpose or your destiny without the help of someone else. Anybody ever broke down on the side of the road before? Now, unless you're Cole Booth, you're calling somebody to help you. He's not here tonight for that little shameless plug, but it's true. Unless you're able to, you know, you carry a jack. I saw this thing on Facebook today where the backside of a truck, it was the back panel, actually lifted up in the air and inside was all this tool. I mean, everything you would need if your truck broke down. I mean, it was everything but the slide thing. You know, I'm talking about the heavy duty. I'm not talking about the one you wind in for days. Talking about, can somebody help me? No. But it's true. No matter where we are in life, if we're trying to get somewhere, if we're trying to be about our purpose, you're going to need the help of someone else. The Bible talks a lot about the power of connection. I know you're saying, what's this have to do with your network? Well, we're talking about it, connectivity. The Bible talks a lot about it. As a matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says that two are better than one. We say that a lot around here. We're better together. When you're not here, there's a piece of us that is missing. Let me let that soak and simmer for a minute. When you're not here, when something else, and it's vacation season, it's coming around, and we live in the vacation state. That means you can drive pretty much anywhere to any beach within 2 hours, unless you're going to Cedar Key, and be at this luxurious place. So I understand that, but anytime we decrease the priority level of where this falls, you are better with us. And we are better. As a matter of fact, we're lost without each other because connection and connectivity is a powerful, powerful thing. One of the things that Jesus said, when he created the earth and he created man, when he finished all of it, what did he say? It's good. It is good. The very first time he actually said something negative was when he looked at man and said what? It's not good for him to be alone. He's like, I don't like how this looks. I don't like what this is not exactly what it needs to be. It's not good for man to be alone. The Bible also goes on to say that one can put 1,000 to flight, talking about demonic spirits and devils and when we come together in prayer. So one can put 1,000. It doesn't say that the next one that joins, if I get in a relationship with someone or a prayer relationship, that we now put 2,000. He's not into addition. He's into multiplication. So if you want to do big things for God, get with God. That's all you need. And follow his plan. Because his word says that one can put 1,000 and two can put 10,000. To flight. Amen. It's the power of our combined effort as it has a multiplied effect. What I'm saying is this: there are some things that you and I do and that can only happen through connection. Everybody say connection. There's some things that we're a part of that can only happen through connectivity, that cannot happen all by yourself. There's some things that you are going to have to connect with, and disconnecting is a dangerous thing. That's not a point, but you might want to write that down. Disconnecting from that which has life and helps you fulfill your purpose and your destiny, disconnecting is a very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. Point number two is this: we must have godly relationships. We're talking about how does your net work? How does your net work? We must have godly relationships. Listen, there is purpose planted inside of each one of us tonight, but we've got to be in the right environment for it to be pulled out. Did you track what I said? There is purpose and destiny and so much that God has packaged inside of you, but in order for that to come out, you've got to be in the right environment. It's kind of like this. We live in the Sunshine State. I used to love going down towards Claremont area where my grandparents lived when I was just a little bitty guy. I still am a little bitty guy, just a lot older. But anyway, but going down and you look at the orange groves, just rows and rows and rows of orange. You could not take one of those trees, uproot it, and take it and send it to Wisconsin and move your whole family out there and expect to have that same thing. Why? It's the wrong environment. It's still the same tree, but it's the wrong environment. And it's very important that we are in the right environment. It's important where we are planted. It's important who we're connected with. I'm talking about connectivity. It is important. It is important. If you brought your Bibles tonight, let's go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He, Jesus, got into one of them. Now, can you imagine these jokers out here washing their nets, and some dude just gets in their boat? How many men in this house would be cool with you just pulling up to the dock, going to do something, and some dude just jumps in your boat? He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and began to teach, or taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. How's your network? How's your network? So they signaled their partners. Underline that if you don't mind marking on your Bible, partners. That is very important to connection. Who you're connecting with, and we'll break that down as we close out tonight. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Basically, what you have done with the fish, you will now do with men. Verse 11, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, this wasn't part of it, but as I was rereading this today, I thought, here you had worked all night trying to fish, didn't catch anything. The guy says, hey, do this. And they had more than the mother load, okay? Like, they had more than enough. The Bible clearly says they left it all. And a lot of pastors have talked about how they just left their boats, the thing that they made money on, they left all that behind. They left the fish they had just caught. I would have been like, hey, Jesus, I'm cool with leaving my boat, but we're going to have to eat in just a little bit. I mean, all this. It said they left everything. What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to leave behind for that which God is drawing you and confirming in your life that it is time to step out and do? They had been fishing all night long, and Jesus needs a favor. Have you ever been in the middle of something and Jesus needs you to do something? You know, like you rolling through Walmart trying to get groceries for your family, and Jesus says, hey, I need you to stop and pray for her. Or, hey, I need you to just go and just share a moment with that, or just go encourage that. You ever been about what you need to do, and he says, hey, I got you. I need something I need you to do. How's that feel when we get inconvenienced? Well, are we going to serve him, or is it all to Jesus? I surrender as long as I can still do what I want to do. Is it all to Jesus? I surrender as long as it doesn't mess up my agenda and what my time and me time. They were like, okay. He said, so Jesus said, throw out your nets again. And Peter responded, man, I've been here all night. But nevertheless, because you said so, I'll drop a net. There's actually another translation. It's the King James Version. It actually says he dropped a net. Singular. But Jesus said, drop nets more than one. Drop. He said, I'll drop a net. And the reason that he responded that way is because he said, he remembers how he's toiled all night long. I don't know, 10, 12 hours fishing and caught nothing. But his response was basically, look, I've been doing this, but nevertheless, how many times we get caught up in the same situation, we can't look at future expectations based on past experiences. We can't look at what God wants to do in this ministry based on what it used to look like. We can't look at what God wants to do in this city based on what the condition of the city currently looks like. We got to just take him at his word and go, God, if that's what you're calling us to do, if that's what you're leading us to do, we've got to just step out and do it because you said so. But see, what Peter did, he had low expectations. God, deliver us and forgive us for the spirit of having low expectations based on what we've always seen happen. It's true. Listen, when God comes to you and gives you instruction, don't bring up your past failures. Because he's actually scratching his head because he doesn't know once it's under the blood, he's confused about what you're even talking about. Matter of fact, you've been listening to the enemy because the enemy's in your ear. That's where you even got that from. Amen? Let me just make it personal. When God sets a vision out in front of us of how he's going to use us, this group of people, to reach our city for him, we can't start bringing up past setbacks. Well, we were going to step out and so-and-so left, or we were going to do it this way, and then everything was together, and then it all started falling apart. We can't base what God is calling us to based on past setbacks. That's for the ministry, but you can't do the same for your life. If God is asking you and leading you to do certain things with your family or on your own or in your immediate family, your extended family, you can't. Well, God, I want there to be forgiveness, but I remember how they treated me last time. You can't look at what used to happen. You got to look at it. What does his word say today? What is he calling you to? I hope you're ready for it because I want to preach it like I feel it tonight. I just, sometimes I feel so all alone, and sometimes I drove tonight questioning. I sent a message to Pastor Mike and I'm like, I need you to pray for me. I feel all by myself. I'll spare you the song that just hit my mind. But it was one of those moments where I feel like I'm out here by myself. That's why I know it's right on the money, baby. Right on the money. Because where we struggle the most is who we connect with or who we disconnect from that we should have been connected the whole time. And wonder why stuff's not working out. Because you got a connectivity problem. I'm not pointing fingers out. I'm saying it's right here with me. I say this every week, but everything that I'm bringing to you is what God is most recently working in my life or what he's currently working in my life. I would rather have fresh bread than a bread that's been, oh, that was great, but we're going to set it up here for a while. How many know when you set it up there for a little bit, you get a little of that green stuff, you know, the hair on the, you know what I'm talking about? It's called fresh manna, fresh bread. So Peter said, man, we've been doing this all night, but because you said so, I'll do it. But I'm not expecting anything to happen. How many times have we said that? I'm going to go to church because I don't want to get a text from Pastor B or any of the leadership team that you wouldn't hear, but I ain't expecting nothing to happen. I wonder if that's pretty much why some people just forfeit and don't come at all, because they can't even get over the fact they just said, you know what, it's always the same, it's never going to change. The reason it's always the same is because you've got low expectations. When you come in expecting God to show up, expecting to leave change, bless God, you're going to leave changed. Instead of pointing the finger and go, well, they picked the wrong set list. Pastor B, Pastor Dennis, whoever's preaching that, I just didn't like that. Well, the chances are pretty good. The reason I don't like it is because it wasn't for me. Hot news flash. Ain't everything that comes out just for you. It might be for somebody else. And you being in the house, okay, maybe you at one time had an issue with that, but you don't now. There might be somebody else who does, and they're relying on your strength to help them get through. Let me say this. God wants you and I to understand this. What he's about to do in this place, what he's about to do in your life, is not going to look anything like he's ever done up until this moment for you or this ministry. That's just what he said. So stop trying to base it on what it's always been. Behold, I do a new thing. The message will never change. But the ways it's communicated must change, because the times are changing. Desperate times call for desperate measures. You've got to be able to be honest and be real with people. That's what's going to make the difference. Not what I preach, not what I say, but what I live and how I act. That's what's going to make the difference. And it's not just for me. I mean, well, that's good for you because you're the pastor. Psh. That's what's going to bring the difference in your life. That's how God is going to use you to impact people, because they're not just going to hear it and your Facebook pages. And bless God, it's been a lovely day, and I love the picture with the pink sky, and isn't he good? No, you post that, but then you cuss some people out at work because they got on your nerves. They could care less about that picture. They want to know how you feel when things ain't going right. It's called connectivity. When this connection is wrong, this right here is going to be all jacked up. Everybody say connectivity. Too many Christians, we're talking about network. Too many Christians have actually cleaned their nets, and they're putting them on a shelf, and they're just waiting to go home to be with Jesus in glory. Listen, if you'll actually take your net back off the shelf and start lubing it up or whatever, I don't know nothing about this, but I'm sure that you got to do something to this to get it ready and prepare. If you will take that thing off the shelf and put it back into action, that's how God is actually going to use us to do something we've never seen in this city. If you'll just get off your blessed assurance, go back to where you put the net and whatever it was that you I'm sorry, we'll get this cleaned up. I apologize. And actually put your net to work. How's your network? How's your net work? If you let down let your nets down and put them back in the game, you're going to see some amazing things that God will do. Amen. So Peter threw out the nets. Listen, when God puts something on your heart to do, you gotta, and in order to keep going, you gotta disregard past failures. I know I keep saying that, but that's an issue for a lot of people in the church. I want to, but there's something holding on. It's called your past failures. So Jesus said, Peter, throw out your nets. He didn't say, throw out a hook. You know what a hook signifies? What I can do by myself. One fish. Uno. I'll eat for a minute. He didn't say throw out a hook. He said throw out a net. So are we throwing out a hook what we can do on small scale, or are we willing to link together? We're going to get there. I'm going to get there. Are we willing to link together and become a net work, making our net work? What's a network? We know about network in corporate America, network, you know, here, there, everywhere, network. What's our network look like? What are we doing? Are we just coming in here to have church? Are we coming in here to hear a little song? Are we actually taking this thing, applying it to our life, saying, God, change me first so that people can see you in me? Not just talking about what Jesus is. Let them see the material at work. That's what's going to change people's lives. You can have a great sermon all day long, but if you're out there living like the devil, doing whatever you want to do, they might not call you a hypocrite to your face, but they're talking about it behind your back, and they're not talking about you. They're just saying, something's not adding up. That's good preaching. I know it ain't popular, but it's still good. A hook only allows us to receive on an individual basis. A net is a piece of, what's this called? What is that stuff? Tray. Huh? Monofilament. Monofilament. That's what the material is. But this is a net, and it's tied together. It's only as strong as its knot. The strength of this is at its where it's connected. Are you tracking me? If I just had a lot of this, what's it called? Monofilament, just laying on the floor, not connected. That's what a lot of churches look like. They're having monofilament. Is that right? I'm trying to remember this word. Y'all like, boy, we need to take Pastor B fishing. No, you don't, because I ain't. No, okay. I did one long time ago. But if you just had a lot of this monofilament laying on the floor and then try to do something with it, you're not going to get anything. It's the connection. It's the connectivity. We're only as strong. Please take my hand. I'm standing here looking like a dummy. We are only as strong as our connection. Our net will only work if we're connected. This ministry will only work if the monofilaments, new word, monofilaments, that's you and I, are connected. So we can throw this thing out. And what's it? Y'all know how it works. I would totally flub that up. But it spreads wide. The weights of it then hold down and take anything into it under captivity. That's what God is calling us to do. To take captivity. Who's the weights of the ministry? Who's the heavy weights of the ministry that's actually going to help once we all broaden this net out, that we're actually going to be able to drop and take back that which belongs to God anyway that the devil has stole? I'm preaching way too good up in this little church. So Jesus came and tested Peter's net, but he also tested where Peter's heart was. He's also testing us tonight to go, okay, I understand. My presence here is important. It's creating a network. That's some nasty stuff. It's creating a network. I don't know if that's fish guts or what, but sometimes you got to know. It probably is, isn't it, Trey? Because I asked him, I looked at it. He's like, oh, it'll come out. Can I shake it off? It's still slimy and nasty, and that's what's going to happen when we actually cast our net. I know that's funny, but check it out. That's what's going to happen. We're going to get a little of that funky, scaly stuff off as we begin to rub shoulders with these people that we're trying to reach, that God has put us in front of. It's a sad day when we get up in this church and we all looking like the same. They're not but one of me. Y'all can only handle one of me. Amen. I gave y'all an opportunity to say it right there. When we begin staffing this church as God begins to grow, I'm not going to look for staff members that think like me, do it like me. You only need one. I got to look for people who actually define where my strengths stop and become weaknesses. I got to look for those people. I used to think that I had to be able to know how to run all the sound and do all the lights and do all the TV stuff and do all the Instagram and social media, all that stuff that's important, because that's where society is. So it's important that we stay in the vein of what's going on and not stay behind. But guess what? I got to look for people who can actually go further than my knowledge ever went. That's the same thing you've got to do. You've got to look at, where does my strength stop? And you got to be able to do a self-examination and be okay with it and go, they might be better at this than me. But use their strength, become a network, and make it work. Amen? Listen, when God begins to open up the floodgates of heaven and begins to pour out the blessings on this house, what do blessings look like? Blessings look like property. Blessings look like buildings. Blessings look like infrastructure. Notice I said buildings, not a building. We're believing for buildings. Infrastructure. The finances comes out. How in the world, what property are you even talking about? I don't know. All I know is he said, come 2020, it's time to pursue some property. Stop just throwing money away for this place we're renting out. I don't know where the finances are coming. I know they're not in heaven. That means the finances are down here. It's coming, and God is going to provide a way. I know it. The families that God is sending, the students that God is going to be bringing, the broken people, the broken marriages, the shattered lives. When God begins to do this thing that he has promised to come to pass, how will our net work? Will we be able to hold and withstand, or will we be like the guys in the boat where our nets began to break because the nets weren't ready? How does our net work? Listen, what my parents have been believing God for over two decades, say two decades, the promise that God laid in his heart in 1991, 92, whatever that magic year was when Calvary Worship Center became a Bible study and is now the Forward Church that you know today. The question he's asking us is, when he begins to unfold this thing, how will our net work? Let me say this. What God is getting ready to do has very little, almost nothing to do with Bradley and Amy being at this house. But it has everything to do with foundation. Is that a point? Did I put that in there as a point? Something to do with foundation? Foundation is the most important component. Who are the foundational people? First, right off the top of my head, Kelly and Sabrina Shepherd, Paul and Janelle Lundy, Adam and Sarah Hires, the Hammonds and others, the leadership team, the eldership team. That is the foundation. If nothing else, it took 20 years to lay a solid foundation. Now, this is what's important. It's important that the foundation stays in place, because you got to know this, that if the foundation begins to shift, anything that you begin to put up on top of that will fall. That's why, and some of you are also key components of the foundation. You are also part of the infrastructure. It's important that you're here. That's why I said it's important when you're not here, that wall is open. That link is gone. If Greg Michael wasn't standing out there protecting you guys every service, he's listening intently, and he's doing his little jive during worship. I'm over here so he can't see me, because I don't want him to know that I'm. But he, listen, if we let our guard down, that's when the enemy comes in and strikes. Are we good? It's important that you are here. I'm trying to be creative, and I'm trying to make it so you're understanding. But there's more than just a laugh to this thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's about the foundation. Peter's net was not enough. He needed his network. He needed, see, when he said, let down your net, he let down his net. But then when he began to get into trouble, he called out for his partners. Remember what I told you, underline that word. He called out for his partners. When we need something, when the ministry, when we're trying, when there's a need of something we need to do to advance the kingdom, we reach out to our network, our, what's it called? I already forgot. That word. We're reaching out to our network and putting it to work. That's why it's important that we're all in this and we're connected tight. And you know the strength of the connection when the pressure comes. You know the strength of the connection when the adversity comes. You know the strength of the connection when the blessing comes and it's pulled tight. You know it, nothing's going to happen. That's why it's important. Amen? What we need to understand is, for our life to increase, There are relationships that must be brought into it. Remember what I said? It's all about the environment. It's about who you're connected to. You've got to be in the right environment for that to be drawn out, to be pulled out of you. Even tonight as I'm speaking, I'm believing that there's some things that I'm saying that's actually pulling purpose. It's pulling destiny. It's actually relighting a fire of some dead, dried up wood that you thought was dead, but all you needed to get was in the right environment on a Wednesday night when you all hell came against you and you came up here going, I need to relight, rekindle. Strike a fire in me, oh God. As we approach 2020 and this transition is happening and I take on a new role in leadership, I'm coming to understand that my responsibility isn't just to preach the word, it's to equip you. It's to challenge you. It's to motivate you. It's to actually produce a platform that you can stand up on and do the work of the ministry. It's not about me just standing here and you sitting getting fat spiritually. It's about you actually gaining some strength and understanding that this purpose and this destiny inside of you, it's time to activate. It's time to actually get together and connect so we can be a network and make it work. I don't want to just set a hook. I don't want to just set a hook. Them days are over. Look what I can do. Look at the tricks I can do. No. It's time to stop. Set down the hook. Grab a net. Grab a network. Grab somebody and say, we in this together. I'm not letting go. Oh, there may be some pulling on me and it may not look pretty, but it's okay. I'm not going to break. As I get ready to wrap this thing up, I want to distinguish the difference between partners and friends. Because we limit ourselves because we think we have to partner with somebody that we would run with, that we would hang with, that we would sit down at McDonald's and eat chicken nuggets with. Okay? A friend, well, let me say this. The Bible talks about how a seed produces after its own kind. I can't take a kernel of corn, put it in the ground, or a seed, and expect it to produce tomatoes. A seed produces after its own kind. The reason that I have friends is because of friendship. I'm looking for the things that I identify with. We have the same likes. We like the same things. That's my friend. But a partner is not necessarily somebody that I would run with or that I would hang out with. This is what's hitting me. And I'm understanding that there has to be a diversity. There has to be a diversity of where my strength ends, but your strength is greater. That's what makes the network. Let me ask you this. Most of us parents, why do we spend a majority of our life disciplining our kids? Because we produced a seed that's right after our own kind. They are exactly like us. Ansley Grace, just like me. And some like her mama. All of our girls, just like us. Because a seed produces after its own kind. Why am I so expressive in worship? Because again, it's not what I say, it's what I do. If I want this to become a house of expressive worship, guess what I need to do? A seed produces after its own kind. If we're going to see worship in this house, then I've got to be the seed that's going to produce a seed after its own kind. It's not going to happen because I say it should happen. It's going to happen because people see it. We're not going to become the difference maker in our community because we put flashy cards out and billboards and Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. No, it's going to be because they see the difference. It's something they see in you. We're planting seeds. When people go church hunting, what do? They look for a church or a place that looks just like them. That's dangerous. That's so dangerous. But it's happening. The strength of anything is its diversity and the ability to manage the difference. We've been talking about that in this, being able to manage the difficult relationships, being able to manage this thing. When you have I know why pastors want to have a church that looks just like them, because there'll be no problems. There'll be no conflict. There'll be no edginess. But the strength is in diversity. Because if I wanted everybody to look like me, talk like me, sing like me, be like me, dress like me, cut your hair like me, bless God. If that's what I wanted, there's people that are going to come. One day I'm going to put this mic down and I'm going to be worshiping right here because there's another role that I got to do. And that person might actually lead better than I ever have, and I got to be okay with that. But if I say, no, I got to be the one. I'm limiting what God can actually do in this house because I have to be the one to do it. Lack of diversity is the first step in a dying anything. Call it church, that gets me in so much trouble. Call it an organization, call it whatever you want. If you're not willing to have diversity, if you're not willing to say, my strength ends here, but you're stronger, come on up to right here. I just want to reach the most people possible by any means necessary. That doesn't mean anything goes. That just means whatever it takes. That was the mentality of Jesus. Whatever it takes. So much so that he sprawled out on a cross and died for our sin before we were even here, before we had even sinned, knowing that we would still screw up again and again and again and again. He did it anyway, by any means necessary. That's what this house represents. Any means necessary, whatever it takes.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.